Welcome to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. Hope you all are having a great week. This is going to be another edition of Ask Sam, where I answer real estate questions that folks have. And so if you want to submit a question for this episode, then you can just send me a DM on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue, or you can send me an email, info@blackrealestatedialogue.com. And also, if you haven't already, make sure you leave a rating and review. I would greatly appreciate it. Let's jump right into it. So the first question is now a good time to buy? This is a great question and it's a loaded question, but I'm going to answer it. So it's always a good time to buy real estate for somebody. And here's what I mean by that. In order to buy real estate, there's a few things that you need, right? Obviously, the number one thing you need is money, right? And so if you have the money, you might be in position. But you also need a plan, right? So let's just make it simple. Let's say you live in Atlanta, for example, and your goal is to buy a home for you and your family to live in. So you have money, you have a goal, and once you get your pre-approval and connect with the right agent, you're off to the races. Whereas if somebody has a goal, but they don't have the money, then now isn't a good time, right? So the other thing to consider is your personal financial situation. So not only having the money, but also does the price of homes where you're looking to buy fit into your budget? Can you actually afford the mortgage if you are looking for a primary residence? Or if you're looking for an investment property, is there cash flow, right? In some markets, in some cities, cash flow is gone, right? Unless you're coming with a very, very big check, a very, very big down payment. So it's always a good time to buy for somebody. And so if you are in a position where you are waiting for prices to drop or you're waiting for interest rates to drop, then you're going to be waiting for a long time. And I covered this, I'm covering this on YouTube very, very soon, but there are cities where there are homes that have significant price cuts. I'm talking like six figures. But the problem is a lot of those have tremendous issues and we're just overpriced to begin with, right? So there's not going to be this crazy crash nationwide. Like in some areas, there might be a bit of an adjustment, but if you're waiting for prices to crash, essentially, I want to encourage you to get out of that mindset because it's not going to happen. There's no indicators that anything like that is going to happen anywhere at scale. So what I would encourage you to focus on is getting yourself in a financial position to reach your goals. So whether that's an investment property or a home for you to live in, and understanding the reality of the current market. You know, unfortunately, and I'll say unfortunately, this is the new normal. Like I'm looking for investment properties and looking and analyzing deals all the time, and these are the new prices, unfortunately. So I'm an out-of-state investor, as many of you know, and I look in the Midwest. I invest in Ohio specifically, but places that used to be $80,000, $90,000, now I'm seeing 120, now I'm seeing 130, right? And so unfortunately, this is the new normal. And rents have gone up, but sometimes it's a little bit harder to find the right opportunity. So it's always a good time to buy. It may not be the right time for you, and that's okay. Take your time and figure out where it is you want to go. And so the next thing that I want to talk about is everyone's always talking about how can I get started in real estate with no money down, with little money down. So there's several ways you can do this. And in real estate, I mentioned just now, right, that you need money. But the thing is, it doesn't have to be your money. And here's what I mean by that. So you can partner with somebody, you can partner with a relative, you can partner with a friend to buy a property, to buy an investment property, for example. And perhaps they come up with the majority of the funds or all the funds. And your role is to run the day-to-day. Your role is to be in charge of everything. And perhaps there's some way they're getting paid back their investment. You know, people may structure it as, you know, once we start taking cash from the deal, it'll go to that person until they're paid off and then you split. There's different ways that it can be structured. So that's one way you can get started with little or no money, right? Get a business partner or partners who put up some of the funds, but it just needs to be an equitable partnership. So you might be putting in the sweat equity and they're simply putting in the money and they're passive investors, right? So that's something that you can explore as well. The other thing is, and there are programs you've probably heard about, I'm sure you probably have heard about the NACA program and FHA program. So the NACA program is zero down payment, zero closing costs, pretty much zero fees and all that. We are quickly approaching the end of 2024. And if you have not purchased an investment property yet this year and it's been one of your goals, I need you to listen very closely. I know many of you live in areas where it's so expensive and investment properties seem impossible. I'm talking about some of the big cities. So LA, New York City, maybe even Seattle, Atlanta, places in Florida, and the list goes on. If you know that where you live is too expensive, I need you to lock in right now. Investing out of state changed my life as somebody living in California. I now invest in Ohio and I'm growing my portfolio. It's something that's possible. You just need the right information and execution. So if that's you, if you want to learn how to invest out of state, go to outofstatemoney.com and there is a free training that'll outline the steps for you and help you understand exactly what it takes. So go to outofstatemoney.com or simply go to the link in the description of this episode. But one thing that people don't tell you online is that although you don't need money to put towards the home, you still need money because there's a certain amount of savings and reserves that they want you to have before you buy that property. Okay. So your money may not be going towards the property itself, but they want to make sure you have money and can afford the mortgage and all that stuff and can demonstrate that you can save prior to you buying that property. So that's something that people don't talk about. And I want to make sure that I'm very upfront with you all about that. The other way for low or no down payment is the FHA program, which allows you to put as little as 3.5% down on a 1 to 4 unit property. And so something else that people don't say is this is not an investor's loan. Okay. So if you get a home on an FHA loan, which is a owner-occupant loan, which means you have to live there either inside the house or if it's like 2 to 4 units in one of the units, what people don't say online, and I want to be very, very clear, so please make sure you're listening, you cannot get an FHA loan and rent the whole thing out and not live there as your primary residence. Do you want to know why? Because that is mortgage fraud. And a lot of people won't tell you that. They'll make it seem like it can be an investment. And, you know, living in one unit, renting the others out, or living in a room and renting the others out, you can totally do it, right? You are still kind of like, you are still being an investor in that way, but you're being an investor in a sense that you have to, in a way that you have to actually live there as well, okay? As your primary residence. Otherwise, that is mortgage fraud. If they catch you, I don't know the consequences, but I'm going to assume it's not good. Okay. And I believe you need to have it as your primary residence for at least 1 year. So 1 year is not a lot of time. And then you can move out, you can do your thing. Okay. And so one of the exceptions is if maybe you get I think if you get a job and you move a certain amount of miles away, you can do it. You can do the FHA again. Because technically speaking, you're not supposed to have two FHA loans at the same time, but I believe there's an exception in certain circumstances. The last thing, and this is something I've been thinking about so much, the future of short-term rentals. So over the last year or so, a lot of cities have cracked down and have a lot of regulations on Airbnb. So regulations like the number of nights that you can have your property or your unit on Airbnb. That is one of the things you have to, some cities you have to get certain licenses, certain neighborhoods limit the number of Airbnbs in total that can be inside of the neighborhood. And essentially what a lot of cities are doing is trying to remove the incentive of doing a short-term rental and making it so hard and honestly trying to push people to put those on the long-term rental market because in a lot of cities, there's not enough housing for those who need to rent. Okay. So I personally will be, I'm not going to tell you not to do short-term rentals. I would just be careful with it and really, really make sure you understand the market that you're in. So the state, the city, local municipalities, and stay on top of any changes, stay on top of what's going on. You want to make sure that you understand the landscape. And what I also like to say is in real estate, in real estate, you want to have a minimum of three exit strategies. And here's what I mean. So if it's going to work as a short-term rental, it should also work as a long-term rental. If you want to do a midterm rental, travel nurses, whatever the case is, it should still also work as a long-term rental. Because at the end of the day, the market may change. It may get oversaturated in your area for midterm or short-term rentals, which has happened in a lot of areas. It's just become oversaturated. Whereas the rental market, I've never heard of the long-term rental market getting saturated. In many cities, there's not enough rentals. And so when stuff goes for rent, there's tons of applicants because people need a place to stay long term or at least a year. So you want to make sure it works for long-term rentals and makes enough money in every scenario. Don't believe the folks online selling you the dream that Airbnb is going to solve all your problems as if regulations can't and have not been changing. You want to make sure you protect yourself at all times in real estate against what might happen in your local market. What might happen in the law? You always want to play offense. Okay. So that's today's edition of Ask Sam. If you have questions again, send me a DM on Instagram. You can send me an email, info at Black Real Estate Dialogue, and I'll consider having your question up. All right. So thank you all so much. Make sure you leave a rating and review, and I'll talk to you soon.
88% of the workweek is spent communicating, so it's important your team does it well. Enter Grammarly. Grammarly's AI helps teams communicate clearly the first time. It shows you how to make words resonate with your audience, helps with brainstorming, and lets you instantly create and revise drafts in just one click. Join over 70,000 teams and 30 million people who use Grammarly to move work forward. Go to grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. Grammarly. Enterprise ready AI.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.